Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
My name is Tim Barton, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Vine. And I want to ask you this question as we begin today. Do you know that you need the Lord every day of your life? Many of you are shaking your heads, yes. I would remember being a little child, probably young elementary, and I was running around with my cousins, two other boys who were around the same age at my grandmother's house. And we were into things. We weren't doing anything explicitly wrong, but we were busy, and we were into a lot of things. And I remember my grandmother just vividly on her face, watching her just kind of turn away a little bit, but say, "Lord, help me or I'm going to kill him." You know, we all, though, seriously, we need the Lord every day. As we come to our passage this morning, we're continuing in 1 Samuel. And as we come to this passage today, it is a reminder to us that God is working in all things, and we need Him. We need Him in every part of our lives. We need Him every day. And so as we come to this passage today, we're going to read a lot. Did you know that the average human attention span is 8.25 seconds these days? All right, we need to grow that a little bit. Whatever you do out there, I can't help, but we want to grow that a little bit in our ability to listen to, pay attention to God's word. We want to read it in its whole because it's one story. And we need that context to help us understand what's going on. But I am going to be a little bit gracious. We're going to break it up in three parts as we go. All right? So maybe you want to even pray as we come to this passage. Lord, help me to focus. Help me to understand what your word is saying. So God's word, we're going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 9. We'll begin in verse 1 and read right now through verse 14. This is God's word. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bechoroth, son of Ephi, a Benjaminite, a man of wealth. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost, so Kish said to Saul his son, "Take one of the young men with you and arise, go and look for the donkeys." And he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. And they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then they passed through the land of Benjamin, but did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us go back, lest my father cease to care about the donkeys and become anxious about us." But he said to him, "Behold, there is a man of God in this city, and he is a man who is held in honor. All that he says comes true. So now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us the way we should go." Then Saul said to his servant, "But if we go, what can we bring the man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there is no present to bring the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul again, "Here, I have with me a quarter of a shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, "Come, let us go to the seer, for today's prophet was formerly called a seer." And Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let's go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the hill to the city, they met young women coming out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered, "He is. Behold, he is just ahead of you. Hurry, he has come just now to the city because the people have a sacrifice today on the high place. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, since he must bless the sacrifice. And afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now go up, for you will meet him immediately." So they went up to the city. As they were entering the city, they saw Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the high place. Our first point this morning, we talk about we need the Lord every day, is that God often uses the mundane. God often uses the mundane. From a human perspective, what's going on in this story looks like mundane events. It looks like regular routine. Think about it. Just pause on it for a minute. Because this story seems to be, at least the beginning of it, somewhat out of place in the big picture of what's been going on. Pastor John shared last week, if you remember, if you were here, and if you weren't, this is what he talked about. In chapter 8, Israel demanded a king. They wanted to be like the other nations, and they demanded a king. And Samuel, God said, yeah, that's not a good idea. That's not going to work well for you. Samuel told them that. They said, we demand a king. We want a king. And God said, okay, obey their voice. And so the last thing we saw was Samuel told them to go home, or go to their homes. Right? Now we come to this spot in chapter 9, and what we would expect to see immediately is Samuel anointing a king. And we get off to a good start. Right? Verse 1 is like, here's Kish. Here's this wealthy man. He's a man from Benjamin. We have his genealogy. He had a son named Samuel or named Saul. Saul was handsome. It tells us Saul was handsome, then it tells us again he was more handsome than anyone else. It says Saul was tall. He was taller than anyone else. Like, really wanted to emphasize this thing about Saul. So it feels like we're on the right track. We've probably found the king. And then we have this phrase. Saul's father, had some donkeys that were missing. Think about that a minute. It's like, you got all this going on, this thing big enough, and the donkeys were missing. Why is this there? That's the daily life of a shepherd. It'd be the daily life of Saul. These random donkeys. Donkeys are missing. So Saul and the servant, they go looking for the donkeys. That's what you do in a normal shepherd's life. You go look for the donkeys. They wandered all over the place in many different directions looking for the donkeys. But they couldn't find the donkeys. You know, I could just imagine Saul walking along and looking at his servant after about day two or three of this and going, dumb donkeys. Where are the donkeys? They can't find the donkeys. And so in verse 5, Saul, thinking they had failed, and we find out in verse 7, they don't have any provisions left. No bread, no food, no money. At least Saul didn't think so. Saul says, we need to go back because my father's going to be more worried about us at this point than the donkeys. So we should go back. But notice what the servant says. And notice that it's the servant and not Saul. The servant says, hey, maybe we're close to the man of God, the seer, the prophet. Maybe we should go inquire of God through him about where the donkeys are. Maybe we should ask God to help us with this. Saul's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Once he found out they had money for it or that he thought they needed it. And so they went to the city where the man of God was. And then we see what seems to be interpreted kind of as these lucky events. I use lucky in quotations, but these lucky events that happen. Because as they arrive in the city, we see these young ladies who are coming out to draw water. Now, what's interesting about that? They would have done that at least twice a day in their normal routine, their daily life, the mundane of life. And so Saul and Samuel ask them about the seer. Where can we find the seer? They get the ladies, what do? They get excited. You can just hear the excitement kind of coming out there. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, he's just ahead. Hurry, you can catch him if you go. You know, if you go quick, you'll meet him immediately. And can you just hear him saying, how fortunate it is that you came right now. Man, do you know how lucky you are? He's right there. It won't even be hard for you to find him. So now, in this passage, you've got people doing what they normally would do. You've got Saul, the servant, being the shepherds. Normal task. You go find the lost donkeys, the lost sheep. You've got the ladies going to draw water. Normal daily tasks. You've got Samuel, the man of God, coming to bless the sacrifice. These are the normal things that they would do in a day. Those people, well, we find out in a minute that Samuel did actually know, but there are others didn't realize that there was something else going on that day. That as they went about their normal things, there was something else God was doing. What we'll see in a moment is that God, in his sovereignty, orchestrates everything. He uses the free will that we have. He uses the brokenness in this world. He uses all these things to direct all things to bring glory to himself. But let's pause on that for just a minute. Because when we're going about our day, do we always sense that God's doing something? Or does sometimes it might feel a little bit just routine or mundane? You know, it's Mother's Day today. Some of you already know where I'm going with that, right? It's Mother's Day today. Moms, does it ever feel mundane, routine? Do you ever feel like no matter what you cook, someone's going to complain? Do you ever feel like that no matter how well you care for your kids, it's never enough? There's always more to do? My wife and I have a joke that the laundry is the most constant thing in life. It's always there for you. I know it's not just moms that feel this way, but it's Mother's Day, so I needed to do that. What about going to work? The same roads, the same office, the same people. What about if you're retired and you think, all these things I look forward to doing, they're already boring now. Same old thing every day. Or maybe, kids, guess what do you have to do every day? You wake up, I gotta go to school again, right? Same thing, same people every day. But even in the mundane, even when we don't understand that God is working in all these things, or we don't see it, we don't understand how, he's always working, and often we don't see his purpose. That becomes more clear in the next section of the story. So look to verse 15 with me. We'll pick up there. Chapter 9, verses 15 through 20. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow about this time I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people because their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, "Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people." Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, where is the house of the seer?" Samuel answered Saul, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for the donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found." Second point is that God has a purpose that we often do not see. See, verse 15 here is kind of a break in the story. It's like this little parenthetical pause here breaks the flow, but it gives us vital information. That the day before Saul came, the day before most of what we just read about happened, the Lord had revealed a big secret to Samuel. It's a big secret there. Verse 15, he says, "I'm going to send you a man from the land of Benjamin." That's how you're going to be able to identify him. He's a guy that's coming from the land of Benjamin. That's how you'll know it's the one I sent. "And you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel." Now let me take a pause on that for just a minute. I think it's interesting that he uses the word prince here. You see, that word that's translated here as prince can also be translated as ruler, as leader, as overseer. But there's one thing it can't be translated as. What do you think that might be? King. I think what God is doing here is deliberately saying, this guy that the people asked for, when they asked for a king to be like the nations around you, he'll be a leader, He may be a king in name, but I and only I, the one true God, remain your king because you are my people. You are my people. And so no one else knows this now except for Samuel. But God had already started all the others on the way through their normal day-to-day things. What I don't want you to miss here is why God does all this. Why he does it. It's because God has a primary purpose. The primary purpose is to bring glory to his name. And he does that through his purpose of saving his people. His purpose is to save his people. That's verse 16, we see it. Four times in verse 16, God says this. He talks about the people of Israel as my people. He says, Saul will be prince over my people. Saul will save my people from the Philistines. And then he says, I have seen my people, and their cry, the cry of my people, has come to me. Now, we see this compassion that God has for his people, this care for his people throughout Scripture. Where's the first place we see it? This first place that God says, I am going to save a people for myself. I'm not going to leave things as they are. We say it a lot here, but I want to keep putting it in the big picture of what Scripture shows us. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. Mankind was separated with God. Things were broken. And God said, I'm not going to leave them that way. I'm going to send one who is going to crush the head of the serpent. I'm going to defeat the power of sin. I'm going to defeat Satan. And I'm going to bring a people for myself. We see it in Genesis 3. We see it unfold in the Old Testament. When God has compassion on his people, looking forward to the Messiah, to Jesus to come. We see it in the context of the people from chapter 8 last week. You remember those people? Even in their stubbornness, intentionally, mule-headedness. You know, donkeys come up all in Scripture, right? Even in their stubbornness, their mule-headedness, wanting to do things on their own, wanting it to be like the nations, he hears them. He has compassion on them. He delivers them. He cares for them. And then he does this in the New Testament. It teaches us that this saving is drawing people to see our sin and to repent of it, to turn from it, but not just turn from it randomly, but when we turn from it, to turn to Jesus, to believe and turn to Jesus. We do that because he lived the perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again to defeat the power of sin so that we can. And then to walk in obedience in our union with Jesus by the power of his Spirit. And so God promises that by the power of the Spirit, he won't leave or forsake his people. Now, again, we're not always going to understand that. We're not always going to understand why he calls us to the mundane and the routine of every day. It may not always feel like he's near, but he has promised that his purpose is to save his people. And so for followers of Jesus, he is near. We pray, Lord, help us to sense your nearness. Help us to sense your closeness. Lord, show me my sin so I can deal with it because I want to know you're near. But he's always there. That's a promise from his word that he will never leave nor forsake his people. That's part of his purpose to save a people for himself. And then we're told that he'll complete the work he began. But even as we see this secret message for Samuel kind of behind the scenes, we learn from it. We see God's purpose to save his people. You know, I do find it interesting that we're told in the middle of this little detail, oh, and by the way, the donkeys have been found. All right, there's the donkeys again. Those donkeys, they've been found. And we could just skip over that as just a minor detail of the story. Okay, glad the donkeys are found. But I do want to say this about it, is that there's the big picture of what's going on. And God's purpose is to save his people. And often along the way, God is still gracious to show that he cares for the little details in life. Even something as dumb as like dumb donkeys. He cares for his people in the daily things as well. Now, the final point I want to make about this passage is that God is gracious to lead and to use the incompetent. And so we pick back up in chapter 9, verse 20. This is a long section, so if you need to pray again that the Lord will help you pay attention, go ahead. Middle of chapter verse 20, chapter 9, it says, "And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and all your father's house?" Samuel answered, "Am I not a Benjaminite from the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me in this way?" Then Samuel took Saul and his young men and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who had been invited, who were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion I gave you, of which I said to you, put it aside." So the cook took up the leg and what was on it and set them before Saul. And Samuel said, "See, what was kept is set before you. Eat, because it was kept for you until the hour appointed, that you may eat with the guest." So Saul ate with Samuel that day, and when they came down from the high place into the city, a bed was spread for Saul on the roof, and he lay down to sleep. Then at the break of dawn, Samuel called to Saul on the roof, "Up, that I may send you on your way." So Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to pass on before us. And when he has passed on, stop here yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God." Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found, and now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on from there farther and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you'll accept from their hand. After that, you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do." When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And the man of the place answered, "And who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Saul's uncle said to him and to his servants, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To seek the donkeys." And when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." And Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell them anything." So again, this last point is that God is gracious to lead and to use the incompetent. Now, let's think back for a minute to several things we learned about Saul in chapter 9. Number one, we saw that he looked like the kings of the other nations in chapter 9, verse 2. Now, for the people, that was positive. I said, yes, that's what we wanted. We want this big, handsome, tall guy that's going to be the king like the nations have. But it was likely an indication that what they were going to get was a leader who was more prone to think about himself, about his own strength, about his own power, like the kings of the other nations did. Not to be a good leader or ruler. And then that he was incompetent to shepherd and lead God's people. He didn't even keep up with the donkeys. He never found the donkeys. I mean, this is likely a direct correlation to the fact that Saul was not the greatest of shepherds, that he wouldn't be a great leader for the people. And then worst of all, he doesn't even know God's prophet, the man of God. He doesn't think about going to him, and he doesn't even know him. In his interaction with a servant, in chapter 9, verse 7, he didn't know about the seer. He assumed he had to buy the help of Samuel, the seer, the prophet. And in verse 18 of chapter 9, when Saul approached Samuel, he asked Samuel if he knew where the seer, the prophet was. So Saul's actually asking Samuel, do you know where Samuel is? And Samuel goes, I'm the one you're looking for. And so looking at all the details of the story, it's clear that Saul was incompetent to lead in his own power, in his own strength. Now, I was talking with someone this morning, so just pause on this for a minute. We see these stories in the Bible, these characters, these true stories. And it's like, ugh, right? But just think for a minute. If your story, your life story was completely unpacked in the Bible, if people read the events of your life story, would they think you were always competent? The reality is, the answer to that is no. Because spiritually speaking, we are all incompetent in our own strength, in our own selves. Some of you probably don't like me using that word a lot. I don't really like thinking about it either. But that's who we are. In our own strength, in our own self, spiritually speaking. So that's who Saul is. And so God lays things out clearly for Saul. In verses 20 through 27, he places Saul at the head of the table of 30 persons. He gives Saul Samuel gives Saul the choicest of portions. The Jewish historian Josephus says that this was the royal portion that he gave to Saul. And then before Saul departs to return to his father's house, we see in verses 2 through 8 of chapter 10, three signs. Now, each of these signs have distinct landmarks and unmistakable details. So that it's like, Saul, you're not going to miss this. We're going to make sure you get this. It's going to be really clear for you. And there's a lot here. Let me say this. There's a lot here that there's a lot of other threads in Scripture that we could pull right now. I don't have time to go through all those, but I want to say this. He made it real clear with the distinct landmarks, unmistakable details, and then we see a difference in the third sign. In the third sign, it says, chapter 10, verse 6, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." And so all this happens in the flow of the story, and we see there that God, when we zoom in, God gives him a new heart for leadership and for shepherding. Look at verse 9. Of chapter 10, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And then in verse 10, immediately following that, when they came to Gibeah, behold, let me say this, God gave him another heart, and then it says all those signs happened that day in verse 9. Now, verse 10, it says, when they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him and prophesied among them. So God's called Saul. God has called him to do something that he is not capable of doing. He's not competent to do, but the Lord called him to it. And so the Lord was going to give him what he needed to do it. He gave him a different disposition that made him able to fulfill his calling as prince and king. Saul's equipped by God's power to carry out this calling that's going to come upon him. And when we say that, you know, Saul, we see later, Saul's not a faithful one. You know, it says he gave him a new heart for being this leader and this shepherd over the people Israel. God called him for this task, but we don't actually think that at this point this was a picture of Saul becoming a believer. We think this is a picture of God setting him apart to do something for his greater purpose, which was to see people, his people, saved, his people cared for. But the point is this, is that God enables for the calling that he gives. But that's not just for kings. That's important for us. Now, God may call you to something huge and magnificent and great. At least it looks huge and magnificent and great in the world's eyes or even in the church's eyes. And if he calls you to it, he's going to give you what you need. He's going to fill you with his spirit to do that. And every one of us who is a follower of Jesus has the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us who's a follower of Jesus. And while we might feel incapable to do what he's called us to do, he's going to give us what we need for it. Now, what has he called every single one of us to do? He's called us to submit to him, to submit to his word, to follow him. Now, is that always easy? Let me give you a couple examples. So if we're saying, okay, I'm supposed to submit to God's word. That's what he's called me to. He's going to equip me to do that. All right. Is it always easy? We'll go back to Mother's Day. Is it always easy to be the mother of young children? No. Some of you are bold enough to actually acknowledge that right now. Yeah, right? No, it's not. Okay. That's not always easy. But if you have young children, guess what? God's called you to that. And if you go to him and ask him, he will give you by his spirit, he will help you to submit to him in that. God has called husbands and wives, husbands, to love your wife as Christ has loved the church. That seems pretty much like a daunting task. But it's in his word. He calls us to it. If he calls us to it, guess what that means? By the way, that's whether they're doing their side of this or not. What do? We ask for his strength, his presence, to strengthen us to do that. Wives, we live in a culture that says, no, you shouldn't have to live in mutual submission to your husband. Notice I say mutual submission. That's another sermon another day. Our culture says, no, you shouldn't have to do that. I don't care. Because God's word says that's what we do. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Sometimes your husbands can be jerks. And yet he calls us to it. And he calls us to walk together in that. You want any more lists? I can give a lot more. Following, submitting to him is hard. And yet he calls us to it. And as we ask him for the strength by his spirit's presence in us, he will do it. He will grow us. He will continue to do stuff. But we need him to do it. And so I close this morning by asking you to consider this. Will you ask God, by the power of his spirit, to help you see him each day and that mundane, the routine, all those things, and submit to his word each day? If you try to do that in your own strength, it's not going to happen. but he's given us his Spirit to strengthen us to do so.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.